You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
We've seen what you can do, oh God of wonders. Your power has no end. The things you've done before, in greater measure, you will do again. 'Cause there's no...
Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
And good morning. It is a beautiful day and great to have you joining us right here on Wednesday Live. You are listening to WCNO in Palm City, Florida. Keep your dial set on 89.9, and we have a great program coming up today. You're going to want to call all of your friends that realize heaven might be nearer than you think. Well, amen. You may say, well, are you loading a bus up today? Well, not exactly, but we have Chris Vogel, who is with us today, and of course, Chris is executive director of the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance and does a tremendous job with that, but has a background having a lot of experience working with families in finance and looking at what's necessary to prepare to leave this earth. And so we're going to get to Chris in just a few moments. Before we do that, I have a prayer request that I would just ask all of you to pause for a moment or at least come into agreement with us. We have a prayer request for Corbin, 6 years old, one of his eyes, complete retina detachment, a very scary situation taking place, having surgery today in Miami, and Candace is calling in this request, and would you just join us in prayer for Corbin? Father, we lift up Corbin today and Candace and all the family. We lift up the team, the surgical team that will be involved in this surgery. We pray, Father, for a miraculous intervention and restoration of his eyesight. And we pray that today would be a God encounter day for him and for the entire family. We pray for your strength to be theirs in Jesus' name. Amen. And feel free to call in your prayer request. We will definitely lift those up. And I know that we may just have a few hundred thousand people joining us today, but the word says if two or three agree, it doesn't hurt if we have 200,000 or 300,000 joining us in agreement as well.
Amen.
Great to have Karen with us today, part of our team. David, part of our team. Karen, what do you have to share with us?
Good morning. What I have?
You have some tips. I can see tip all the way from me. And it's not financial, even though we have a financial guru with us today. But
right. So this is from apparently the Department of Revenue from the state of Florida, tax information publication, and where they have the new sales tax exemptions that were beginning August of 2025. Some items have been temporarily exempted during the past tax holidays, but these particular items are always tax exempt. If I'm reading this correctly, batteries, all kind of batteries, bicycle helmets.
Certain batteries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there's quite
a number of different sizes.
List there, yeah,
there's a good list.
The important ones, your AA for your remote. Bicycle helmets, carbon monoxide alarms, fire extinguishers, insect repellent, life jackets, portable gas cans, portable generators, smoke detection devices, sunscreen, and waterproof tarps. So those are always tax exempt. Who knew?
This can be significant to Karen. I mean, if you have
that.
A generator, the generators
exactly.
can run several thousand dollars, but
yeah.
this is a great gift back to us of our own money.
<That's>
leaving
right.
a couple more dollars in your pocket. But I saw that and I thought, you know, we really need to tell our WCNO family that you can pull this up and research the tax holidays for items that may be tied into hurricane season, which incidentally we have those in Florida, and now's a good time to get ready.
Yeah, so the tarps and then also ground anchor systems and tie down kits. So that would come in handy.
All of that. That's great. And did you have any more mail?
Yes, I believe this is from Francois.
Okay.
And
longtime strong supporter of the ministry. Oh, yeah. Francois, yeah. Hello.
Good to hear from him. He sent in his donation. And he left a note here. May God bless you all.
And we receive it. Thank you. Back at you, Francois.
Thank you,
we send it back.
Amen. And then also Inez had sent in her donation, and she asked for prayer for herself and her family for spiritual growth and a steady relationship with the Lord.
Thank you, Inez. And I know Inez is praying and giving and supporting us. And some of these notes that come in, they get put in a little pile, and we try to bring them in on Wednesday Life when we're able to do that. So, Inez, we know you're a dear friend of the ministry. We know we do lift you up in your family, up in prayer as well. David, you had something?
Yes, I do. You know, the Martin County Board of County Commissioners has a plethora of advisory committee. A plethora.
Sounds like
half.
A smorgasbord.
Well, well, that makes me think of food.
Yes,
but
well,
plethora
it's
doesn't. But anyway, we get notices from time to time when some of those committees have vacancies.
Mm-hmm.
And so this has to do with the Library Board of Trustees has some vacancies. And, of course, you have to be a Martin County resident. You can't work for the county or for the library. And so I don't know how many seats or maybe a couple of seats are coming open. But we always encourage our Christian folk to get involved in what's going on in the area. And these are one great way of doing it. You have direct input into these because of the focus of these commissions. So if you're interested in looking into that, you can contact Donna Gordon at the County Administration Building at 288-5756. Of course, that's the 772 area code, 288-5756. Or you can send an email to dgordon@martin.fl.us.
And incidentally, often I've heard people in the congregation say, I wish I knew what I could do to make a difference.
Yeah.
And getting involved in your community is one of those great ways to do that. And incidentally, Martin County stays right on top of this. We get emails every time they're looking for people to join. Where are you, St. Lucie County, Palm Beach County, Indian River County, Okeechobee County? We're into like 15 different counties. And if all of you sent us something the same day, we probably couldn't cover it. But yeah, we would be willing to interact.
Well, just a comment, because, you know, maybe sitting on the Library Board of Trustees is not your thing, but you want to get involved and you see this as a vector to bring, you know, the Word of God into those. So you can contact Donna Gordon again at the county office and say, what committee memberships that advise the County Board of Commissioners are open? Because they would tell you that, too.
Good point. And so that is something we desire to bring out. And I'm just thinking of one of the commissioners that we've had on a couple times that when we asked him, what would you say to the church? And he said, equip yourself to know what's taking place.
Yeah.
And be actively involved, not just someone who critiques, evaluates, maybe is a judge of the good, the bad, the indifferent, but get involved. Share your faith through your caring interest and prayers for what's happening in your own county. So Amen. Be a part. All right. Was that all your mail?
Yes, sir.
That was it. Chris Fogle, welcome.
Well, it's good to be here. Thank you for having me here this morning.
Well, it's great to have you with us. And you have worn a lot of hats on a lot of boards. You've been involved over a lot of years. You are retired, sort of, but I mean, you're still very busy.
I was over at my old firm this morning and ran into a couple partners, one of whom was getting ready to retire. And I just said, make certain you have a plan for transition.
Ah.
Because, like myself. He's been married many years. And I said, your lovely bride's going to tell you you're welcome for breakfast and dinner. And no, it's important. I tell people, and not jokingly, I'm probably busier now than when I retired from the firm. Because I'm involved, you know, of course, in the ministry.
Talk about Way Cafe for just a moment. What is Way Cafe? Because I know this is dear to your heart, and it's actually a great, it's a great service to the community.
The Way Cafe is in Fort Pierce, and we have church on Sunday. It's pastored by Stuart Fakita. We have King's Men's Luncheons, which meets the last Thursday of every month from 12 to 1, which has been a blessing for many people that really don't have a chance to get away for any type of spiritual food, if you would. And it's from 12 to 1, the last Thursday of the month.
Is that for business owners, or is that?
That's for men.
For men. Oh, men's. Okay, men's.
They could be a lineman. They could be a bank teller. They could be a business owner. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
So, it's been a place for the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance to
many meetings
where we conduct business. So it's just been a real blessing. And it's been home to also some other ministries that have met Marked Men for Christ, Marked Women for Christ. So we try to use that space, not so much as a church per se, but more as an opportunity for Bible studies on Wednesday nights. It's just constantly something
place of done. gatherings for the body of Christ.
Amen.
And it's been tremendous, and that is a great blessing. And I know just from our Treasure Coast Alliance meetings there that it's right in town. It's easy to get to. It's a great place. How would a pastor or a group that might be interested in connecting, how would they find out more information about the Way Cafe?
Just to give me a call. My cell phone number is 772-834-5316.
Excellent.
And the other thing, too, I've been very involved. I'm now the senior spiritual lead director of Via de Cristo.
Okay.
Which is a men's and women's Christian movement from Broward County to Indian River County. We have two men's weekends a year and two women's weekends a year. They're powerful. To say I'm busy is an understatement.
I want to put that on the calendar, Chris, because actually just to talk about those advances, we could call them retreats, but they're advances.
They're more than a retreat. So
they
it's not just for someone to go for the weekend. They have to actually be in church and sponsored by their pastor.
To attend.
And what we like to say is they come in on Thursday, and when they come out Sunday, they're a completely different person. What they experience over the course of a weekend is hard to explain, but they then become more, what I would say, powerful sheep within the herd for the pastor. They come back wanting to talk to the pastor. What can I do? How can I serve? It's powerful.
And a great aspect of that is that even though it may have a connection to a denomination, it's actually open to all Christian people. I'll tell you, a lot of people come to Christ through those events as well.
Mm-hmm. They do. And it really is non-denominational. There's nothing discussed about any denomination.
Right.
But we do communion daily. It's powerful.
We'll look to line up maybe a couple guests that can join us, and we can just focus on one of those events as they're coming up and kind of promote that, because I know some pastors have a fairly full calendar just within their own ministry, and sometimes think, well, why would I add something else to my busy schedule? But this actually is something that serves the body of Christ. I guess we could use the word maybe parachurch type of ministry.
It equips the saints.
It does. Well, Chris, having been to an event that addressed how to get ready, how to prepare your house, how to prepare, you know, in ministry we think about preparing for eternity, and a part of that is to look at our lives in the bigger picture. And I ask you to come in today and present to us a bit of a perspective. Where do we start? How do we get started? What is required? Why does it matter that a pastor or a Sunday school teacher, a youth leader, or a Christian man, a Christian woman, grandparents, why does it matter that we make plans that prepare for our exit? And we you know, it's kind of a tough topic, really, isn't it?
It's a tough topic. But, you know, the greatest estate planner was our Heavenly Father.
You're right.
He planned the death of his own son for redemption for this entire world.
Thank God.
And I start out, you know, I've done this for a number of pastors at churches and spoke on this topic. You know, and I say we serve a God of order. You have sunrise, sunset, the seasons, our body's desire for food and water, the ecosystem. God is a God of order, which means if we are his child, we need to be of order. And so when I mention the word estate planning, the first thing that many people say, well, I'm not big enough to have an estate. And that's not it at all, because an estate is just essentially what you have, no matter how small. And Pastor Jonathan, you and I have run into situations with a couple of pastors that died without wills.
Tragic. Tragic is the only word I know to say. Tragic.
You know, and so the spouses don't know what to do. They don't know what they have. They don't know where to look for. Hopefully there's children around that might be able to help them to filter through the issues. But when it should be a time for mourning, sometimes it's a time of chaos.
Yeah.
And that's not a one. I like to quote 1 Timothy chapter 5, 8. He says, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever."
Hmm.
I mean, it's covered in Scripture. This is not something that, you know, CPAs and estate attorneys do for a living, but there's a biblical side to this. In fact, Proverbs 13, verse 22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous." So there's a number of verses you can go to Scripture, but my point is, let's just talk about a simple will.
Okay.
And young couples especially, you know, people think, well, I don't really need to worry about it till I get older. Well, I like to bring up a case that some of us older people might remember, the Terry Schiavo case, which was right here in Florida.
Wow.
And Terry Schiavo was a lady who was horribly injured in an accident. She was a 41-year-old woman in a vegetative state.
Mm.
There were no documents. Now, the husband knew, being married to her, that if anything happened to her, she didn't want any artificial things to keep her alive. But her mother, on the other hand, fought it. This dragged out for 15 years. If they had the simple documents of a will, a living will, all this could have been prevented, because then that individual would have directed his or her wishes if something happens. Well, people say, well, you know, it's expensive. No, it's not. I mean, if you're very wealthy, it can get expensive when you start setting up special trust and whatnot. But for the average person to get a simple will is not expensive. You know, and with getting a simple will, you're simply putting down your desires as to what you want to happen to your estate. And it involves not just, you know, getting a will, but also a durable power of attorney. Because sometimes we can be in a situation where, let's say, mom suffers a serious stroke, and she at that time is a widow, but she has to have her affairs taken care of. Well, if she had provided a durable power of attorney, could be a son, a daughter, or a very close, trusted friend, that durable power of attorney can work on her behalf. Now, they can't do anything other than the basic things because they're under a fiduciary responsibility. So it's not like they can go out and buy a car or spend the money foolishly, but they can take care of her basic needs, pay her utility bills if they're and whatever else, assisted living. But having that durable power of attorney establishes the right of the other person to be able to do that. And sometimes we have situations where you may have a son or a daughter or even a grandchild that you're taking care of that has special needs. Could be severe physical handicap, mental handicap. You set up what we call a special needs trust. The special needs trust provides for that child who later becomes an adult, and you have things set aside that guarantees the protection of that individual. But that's only done through proper documents. Because there are situations where that special needs child may outlive their parents. Then what? That's the purpose of a special needs trust. So these are things that, you know, we should plan on. Even so much as for your death. Well, that really gets to people. I don't feel like going to a funeral home and planning the arrangements.
That's tough.
It is, but by the same token, it's order.
Yeah.
And, you know, my wife and I went down. We set up. We prepaid our funeral cost and our burial plots, because when the Lord calls us home, none of our children are going to have to worry about that. You know, it's nothing worse than when the son or daughter has to go to the funeral home and they start showing these elaborate caskets, and then they show this wooden box. Well, you don't want mom in this little wooden box here. You know?
Right.
But my point is, if it's taken care of, the children, grandchildren don't have to worry because the parents' wishes have already been executed. Everything's been handled. And so to me, it's, and people say, well, I don't have a lot of money and I'm in a situation where I'm under a limited spending. Well, the beauty of prepaying funeral costs is not an expenditure that they can rule out. In other words, if you're on a limited income and you're being provided for by a what I call a elder law attorney, and so the money is being guarded, taking that money for funeral cost is proper. That is a proper expenditure. So it takes it out of the estate, but more importantly, it saves that expense so it doesn't come and fall upon the children or the dependents. So now what I tell you is, if you have mom or dad or even a spouse that's getting to a point where you're not going to be able to take care of them, my recommendation is you meet with an elder law attorney, not an attorney that might be civil or Morgan and Morgan. I'm just joking there.
Billboard.
But an elder law attorney has to go through certain certification, and they can help guide a spouse preparing for her other spouse or his spouse that they're going to be physically unable to take care of. And then what they can do is they can also protect the estate. They can segregate assets. It's called, I remember the state of New York tried to prevent that from happening. They thought that was illegal. They lost. But it's proper. It's just taking care of a spouse, making certain they have sufficient money to take care of their needs without bankrupting the other spouse. So that's why getting an elder law attorney in certain cases can be very, very important. And they have, when they call themselves an elder law attorney, and we have them in St. Lucie and Martin County, you want to make certain they're board certified. And there's a national organization called NALA, the National Association of Elder Law Attorneys. and you can find out if that attorney is a member of NALA. And they can give you really good advice in those areas, along with special needs trust, the simple wills, the durable power of attorneys. The other thing I didn't mention is healthcare surrogate. You know, if my wife and I were involved in an accident, let's say, and both of us are going to require some serious medical attention, having a healthcare surrogate designated, which in my case would be my daughter because she's in healthcare, she can help make the decisions and guide the care in the absence of her mom and dad, who would be unable to. Those are simple documents, not expensive. Healthcare surrogate, durable power of attorney, and a simple will. Those are things that you should definitely take care of if you have it. And for our older audience, stress that to your children. Just because they're 27, you know, he's out playing softball on the weekends and she's an avid runner. We don't know the time.
It's true. It's true.
We don't know what could happen. We've seen great athletes. In fact, I just saw one who was he was in that that fighting where they kickbox or whatever. Top athlete from Brazil, 37 years old, just died of a heart attack.
Mm.
You don't know. So you need to plan. That really is what we do. We plan in church. You know, we plan communion. When we take communion, we plan for, you know, all the different things as we grow in our spiritual life. You know, if you're going to be a teacher of the word, you plan to go to seminary. I mean, they're planning. Planning is what God has set up for all of us. And for us to ignore it is tying into our vanity. You know, well, I don't need to worry about it. No, it's not a matter of worry. It's just a matter of taking care of things. You know, if businesses approached their business like some people approach putting off their wills, they wouldn't do very well in business. Mm. Because you have to, in business, we have to address risk. Because every business has all sorts of risk. And if a good business person is going to assess all the risk of their business, and they're going to develop plans in case any of those risks come true so that they have a plan. That's what we have to do. We have to plan for serious illness. And you know, especially there's a lot of parents and elderly people living down here, and their kids are not even here. They're in New Jersey, they're in Connecticut, Chicago, wherever. And they don't want to worry their children when things start happening. But if they have documents in place, you know, at least, you know, the assisted living facility can call the son or daughter and say, mom's going through some issues here. Does she have a living will? And whenever you go to a hospital, one of the first things they ask you is, do you have a living will?
It's true.
By the way, do not put your living will in a safe.
Hmm.
Do not put it in a safe deposit box, because when things happen, they don't happen between 9 and 5 necessarily. They happen on a Friday night, Saturday. You want to have your living will, healthcare surrogate papers. You want to have copies for your kids. Say if anything happens, you have these documents. Keep them where you can access them right away. If something happens to mom, she gets to the hospital, and it could be a situation whether they want to artificially keep her alive or not, and she doesn't have her documents with her. She's in a coma. The son or daughter has a living will. No matter how difficult it is, they have documents that they can give to the hospital and says, this is what mom wants. Keep them available. The only thing I'd put in a safe deposit box is a will. I'd keep a will with the attorney. The attorney really should have the original will, which brings up another question. If your attorney's going to retire, and trust me, I know a number of attorneys at my age that have retired, and they did your will, get the original will from them and get it to another attorney. Now, for all of you that have made your will, we're not done. There's something called a codicil. A codicil is a fancy word for I got to make a change to my will. It could have been I left my estate to my son and daughter-in-law. Well, my daughter-in-law divorced my son several years ago. and I don't like the way it happened. Well, guess what? She's in the will.
Mm.
I had a situation, a gentleman in Fort Pierce that owned a restaurant. He was a dear friend of mine. World War II, and when he came back from World War II, he was very bitter with his wife. I mean, so bitter, she didn't even really want him and the children to be close, and ended up in divorce. And for years, when I talked to him, he was always bitter about her. Well, when he died, I was designated his personal representative. In the will, he had life insurance. Guess who the beneficiary was? Now, he was rolling over in his grave, I'm certain. But my point is, you have to look at your will, and you have to update it. Every 2 years, I just tell people, just relook at your will. There may have been a death within the family. There may have been changes in circumstances. You may want to alter your will. And it's not hard to do, but it has to be done. It's called a codicil. The attorney makes the changes, and you update it.
All right, Chris, we are going to break in. We're going to go to a song. We're going to be back again. We have Chris Vogel with us. And Chris was sharing with us about the Way Cafe, and that is a great ministry that's in the Vero or Fort Pierce area, and how to get a hold. Again, what is the number for people who are interested in more information about that, Chris?
772-834-5316.
And we're talking about getting our house in order, estate planning, making proper plans. And we're going to be back with Chris again in just a few moments, and have David looks like he is thinking about some very important questions to throw at Chris here a little later, and Karen looks very studious as well. So we will be right back.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand, start to fall. And all those lonely roads that I've traveled on, there was Jesus. When the life I built came crashing to the ground, when the friends I had were nowhere to be, I couldn't see it then, but I can see it now. Well, there was Jesus. In the way, and in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been, shadows of the alley.
And just when you thought Dolly Parton was not in Florida.
Yeah, there she is. Yeah.
But what a great song, really. You know, that is our Father showing up in our life at the times when we need him most. And we're talking about a topic, estate planning, really important. And Karen, you had a question that you might want to just raise as we're coming into this second half of our programming. I think it's relevant.
Yes, Chris. I was thinking about, you know, people that maybe move frequently. So if you went to a funeral home or made all your arrangements, bought a plot, you did all that. What if you end up moving to a different state? Can you transfer those?
You can't transfer the plots.
Well, of course.
The plots are separate. But no, they're an actual asset.
Okay.
But the prepaying the funeral service is normally an insurance policy that's purchased from the funeral home. In a trust, so that is movable. So the funeral service can be prepaid, but it can be moved down here. But the plots themselves will be wherever you purchase them. Now you can sell burial plots.
Mm-hmm.
That you can do, and you could then buy plots. Let's say if you're living in Florida, but the actual funeral service is usually or. The funeral homes sell it through a trust so that, you know, you're protected there.
For the services, yeah.
Yeah, and you want to ask the questions anyway. I mean, if you're going to meet with the funeral director, you want to talk to him about, well, you know, my wife and I are living here in New Jersey, but we're thinking of moving to Florida, and we've prepaid you. What happens if we're down there?
Mm-hmm.
And you want to get answers. Mm-hmm. But generally, it is transferable because it's in a trust.
All right.
That's really cool. I had, I don't want to be greedy, but I had two areas of questions.
Two?
I know. But one shouldn't take too much time. But it's really, I want to hear your report because Karen's just talking about something. And for a while, my wife worked for a local funeral home. And while she was there, we decided to do our pre-planning. And we both went with the direct cremation, and we paid for the whole shot. It was, for us, it was a little employee discount time. But the thing was, is that even if we weren't employees, we would have saved a lot of money over waiting until one of us had died, you know, and then trying to deal with all that grief. But in terms of encouragement for our listeners, how strongly would you encourage them to do the pre-need now when everybody's well? And what cost savings could they experience?
David, that's probably one of the best questions I'll ever get asked, because the sooner you prepay, the better off it is financially. The prices have risen. Someone was telling me the funeral plots, for example, in Palm Beach County we're talking $60,000-$70,000.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You want to take care of it as soon as you can, because, you know, like everything else, costs have increased.
Yes.
And so what you do by doing the planning now is you've frozen it in time.
Yeah.
So that you will not be subject to increases down the road.
That's, yeah.
And, you know, in reference to that, too, my mother wanted to have a family burial plot, and that was something she wanted to do. And so there may be others that are thinking about that. Well, right here in Palm City, she ended up with an area that is available for all of us in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so Mom just said, I would like for there to be a place. And even if whether there's a traditional funeral or if maybe cremation, all of that can still work. I know my sister's put in a nice bench. It's got some scripture and thoughts on it. And, you know, so that's something that Mom said, well, out of my estate, I would like to put that in order and take care of my family. And, of course, like you're saying, Karen, we couldn't transfer that property up to New York or something.
Yeah.
We wouldn't, you know, of course. But it is kind of nice. It is kind of nice because, you know, now we've had a few of our family that have been there, and so we go over there. It's in that place. But Mom locked in that price.
Mm-hmm.
back at the point where it seemed like a lot of money to me. I don't know, $30,000 or something she paid. But wow. Now it's a pretty good sized place. It's like double the size of our studio here, yeah. You know. And so that is good. And it's nice for a family to think like that. And I know Mom really wanted to have the family, quote, for the resurrection or whatever, yeah. Kind of together. Well, she was just planning and thinking that way, so.
Well, as you know, there's upkeep. I mean, you just don't
there is
a cemetery. There's
perpetual
upkeep,
care.
Perpetual care. So it's important to, if you can, if you're in a position to prepay your funeral cost. Mm. But if you're not, certainly take care of your will, your durable power of attorney, your health care surrogate. Get those documents in order.
But there's financing for that, just like, I mean, people buy cars, they buy houses, they buy furniture, they buy all kinds of stuff on time. And, you know, not that I would encourage somebody to go into a lot of debt, but it certainly makes sense, and it's something that probably most families could at least have a free sit-down and look and understand what you're looking at.
And, you know, the will's important. Mm. You know, 40-plus years sitting behind my desk with clients over the years, you know, I saw what would be perceived as loving families. Mm. But let me tell you, after Mom or Dad's gone, the love is lost.
The $20.
The sibling warfare strikes when you never thought it would happen. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why the wills can't be emphasized enough. You can even do what's called an inventory sheet. So if you've got certain items that you want to bequeath to certain people, a niece, a nephew, or a friend, you attach those on a document, which is part of your will. It's and then the rest they can do with whatever. But as I was fond of telling my clients, chances are your children don't want anything you have. Mm. You may think they want it, but the reality is they're worried about getting rid of it because I'm handling the estate after the parents died. No one's fighting over what they had. They're fighting to get rid of it. They want to sell the – and I hate to say this, but this is what happens.
It is what happens.
So if there's something – what I tell people, if there's something your son or daughter or grandson want, give it to them now.
Right. Yeah.
Why wait till you're dead? You want it? Here it is.
Good point.
And to be able to be a part of that, my wife's parents, this was a very difficult topic to talk with them about. Very traditional, you know, and from the Chattanooga area. And had a relative that worked in one of the funeral homes. And so we thought, well, this isn't going to be too bad. Well, it was almost impossible to get Mom and Dad to that funeral home. And we eventually did. And, you know, Dad saying, don't you have a cardboard box? And I mean, that was just kind of where it was. And they did have a cardboard box, and he wanted to look at it. You know, that's just where Papa was. He said, but you have a pine box, you know. But eventually we had that conversation. I was the bad guy because I was, you know, I'm the son-in-law. And so, you know, I was able to sort of say, we really need to do this. But I'll tell you, when Mom and Dad both of them lived with us mostly the last 10, 15, really, they were with us a lot, 20 years of their life, but their last years for sure. And we were blessed to be able to take care of them and see them go to glory, and they were surrounded by family, you know. But outside of their house, when the house sold, was a big dumpster. I mean the biggest dumpster, not a little dumpster. This was like the huge dumpster. And that got packed with all the treasures that came out of Mom and Dad's life. Mm. And you're absolutely right. Absolutely right when you say, Chris, that many times the things that we have that take up space, we rent storage units to keep it, and a lot of it goes. We still have a few minutes, Chris. How would you like to kind of close this? What would you say as you kind of wrap this up? I know this is normally like a half-day seminar that you do.
Well, you know, I think that I want people to understand that I know it's difficult to discuss making a will. I've heard it said before, well, I don't want to talk about it. It's something I'm not comfortable with. But the reality is that's selfish. And I would ask people to pray to God and ask for forgiveness, first of all, because scripturally they are directed to put their life in order. And I would say that start finding out, maybe if you're concerned about cost, find out, well, is there an attorney that does a simple will and durable, powerful attorney in a healthcare circuit, fairly inexpensive? And there are attorneys that can knock it out. You have other people say, well, I can go online and do it. Yes, you can. But I think when you have a legal document that's been notarized and witnessed and done the proper way, it eliminates a lot of problems. Some people say, I don't care what happens when I'm gone. They can all fight over it. Again, I understand, but that's selfish.
Yeah.
If you don't like them, then give it to charity. The other thing I talk about, too, is tithing.
Important topic.
Okay. You can tithe your estate. First of all, it's not your stuff to begin with.
Mm.
When you came into this world, I'm pretty sure, not 100%, but I'd say almost 100%, you were naked.
Pretty sure of that.
You did not have a billfold. You didn't have a cell phone. Mm. You had nothing. And that's exactly how we go out. So what was accumulated during our lifetime was by the grace of Almighty God.
Amen.
And so for faithful, there's no reason why we can't tithe to our church, part of our estate.
Right.
And some people may have a very large estate. It might be a year and a half before they figure out what 10% is. But nonetheless, it's deductible in the estate. It benefits the church, and you're still serving God. Because the tithe occurred while you were alive, even though it goes after your death, because you ordered it in your will. So you said, God, I'm tithing my estate to my church or to other ministries or to WCNO. I mean, you can direct your bequest to those ministries. My mother, may she rest in peace, her favorite was St. Jude's. She just worshiped St. Jude's because of the children.
Right.
Okay? So when Mama passed away, I had put a request in lieu of flowers, make donations to St. Jude. But the point is, at least have your wishes in your will. It's not hard to do. And sit down with your spouse and talk this out. Communicate to one another. What do we want to do? What would God have us do with what we'll have left? This should be done in prayer.
Amen. Really should.
A will should not be done secular. It should be done in prayer. What would God knows what's going to happen to our children and our grandchildren. Even the grandchildren aren't even born before we die. God knows our needs. And if we pray to God and ask him to help us in the direction of our will, then I know it's going to be the right way. And it'll be done. It'll be final. The kids can still fight, but it won't matter. If it's a legal document, the legal document will stand. And no attorney will take it on if he sees the legal document. They won't. There won't be an attorney that will take it if he sees that the will was done and executed in a legal form. He'll say, I'm sorry that you're upset. I'm sorry that you were promised 90% of the estate, but this is the will. This is the document. It's signed. It's executed and witnessed. I can't do anything. So take care of it now.
Chris, just you're talking of this, and as the general manager here at the radio station, we have families that have made a donation to this ministry, and that is a tremendous blessing to us when that takes place. And one thing that I have observed as a pastor, most families, if your children are serving God, you have grandchildren, and you know you're looking at that, and God has wisdom to give you guidance in that. And families will work through these things with proper planning, as you're saying today. But I have been shocked by the families that would not give $5,000 to one of their children because their lives are so out of order and it would be such a disaster. And it would empower them to go in the wrong direction, but yet will fail to have a will that clearly gives direction to your resources. And then you have children that maybe one's a Christian, maybe others are not yet in the kingdom, but I've seen some horrific battles develop in this area. And also, in many ways, it hurt the kids rather than helping them.
You know, you bring up a good point. You know, I'm in contact with a lot of pastors that do recovery ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if you have a son or daughter, let's say she's 28 and she's still on drugs and having issues, you can put that money in trust for her with, let's say, your son or even someone you trust immensely, that at the moment that she recovers and accepts Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior, the money can be released from the trust and given to her with the explanation, I'm so proud of you. You made it.
There you go.
So just because they're bad now, you know, I get in my own childhood, mm-hmm. okay?
Right.
My mother shouldn't have left me a penny. But the point is that we change, and hopefully we change for the better.
We pray for
hopefully
that.
Because she was a godly woman or he was a godly man,
yep.
that even though his son or daughter or grandson was in trouble with drugs or alcohol, they were being prayed for. And maybe God doesn't answer the prayers in their time, but God will answer the prayers. And when that person recovers, what a great opportunity to then present them from something that they never knew was there that now comes
that's
to them
beautiful.
As a gift.
Amen. That's beautiful, and we must never underestimate the power of God and the power of prayer to change lives. And you know, I had one family that the lady was a strong Christian. Her husband was just a blockhead. I mean, he's in the hospital with a heart attack, and he's not interested in God, right? But she had prayed for him for more than 30 years, something like 34 years. And had her memorial service one Sunday, and within 2 weeks, he was at a graduation, fell, broke his neck, was basically pronounced dead and put on life support in a hospital, and heart attack along with broken neck, elderly gentleman. And it looked like all those years of mom's prayers, like he was caught at a moment where there is no way this man could ever come to God. But God is sovereign. And what they said that night, I stood with the family. The doctors are like, we're waiting on family. Please understand that nothing but this machine is making noise here. There is no life at all. He was without oxygen. I think it was like 30 minutes. The next morning, there was a miraculous turnaround.
Wow!
And Bob Rogers ended up accepting Christ. He prayed that sinner's prayer about three times before it got to his heart, but it did. He was fully restored. He had major skeletal neck surgery, recovered from that, drove again, and lived a number of years after his wife had prayed him into the kingdom. She was already in glory, and today he is with his wife in heaven. So do not underestimate the power of God. Love it, Chris, for what you shared. Well, we have a couple minutes left. Karen, any closing thoughts, questions?
Well, I was just thinking about when you're talking about leaving stuff for your kids. You know, there's a big thing on the internet. You know, the younger people, they don't want any of your stuff. But there was a young guy yesterday that I saw that he wanted to preserve some of the memories of his grandparents. So he bought, they left him the house, and then he bought a little shed to put out in the back, and he kept, like, the sofa, you know, the Afghan, a lamp. So he just has it set up just like a little mini remembrance.
Mini museum.
Yep. Yeah.
Memorial
and,
museum.
And then everything else he sold and
really?
Got rid of.
So wow.
And this was a young guy, probably, you know, early 20s. So I thought that was kind of neat. So not all is lost.
That's amazing. Dave, did you have any any closing thoughts for Chris? Chris, tell us about the Alliance in closing. We still have about 5 minutes. What's taking place with the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, a great organization?
Well, we got a lot happening. On September 24th, I think, the fourth Thursday of September, we have the Treasure Coast Day of Prayer. That's going to be at Grace Emmanuel Church on Kitterman Road. We are looking forward to seeing as many people as possible that can come together and pray with us that night. It's a special time. It is a night of prayer, and it is for the Treasure Coast. And then on December 6th, we have the Christmas Proclamation Supper.
Yeah.
We have a great speaker that evening, it's always, I think it's always the
highlight of the year.
Yes, very much so. And that's December 6th. And then new this year, New Year's Eve, I'll just give you two words, Firefest. It's going to be a powerful gathering at the Mid-Florida Civic Center in Port St. Lucie on New Year's Eve. And the planning that's going into that event is powerful. And in fact, I will have an update for our board on Friday morning.
But, excellent. And we're going to be bringing you and maybe Stuart and some of these young leaders on to Wednesday Live to talk about this, to get the word out. It's not too late.
To call me a young leader, Jonathan.
Or too early. You're a young leader.
But no, it's the Alliance is doing well. I thank God for our board. We've got a board of pastors that hold me accountable. And Sherry Way, who is our administrative assistant, does a great job of setting up the meetings and getting us on target and helping on these events.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of work. So, September 24th, December 6th, and New Year's Eve.
Put that on your calendar and lift that up in prayer. And we're going to finish strong. And this program is sponsored in part by the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. So Wednesday Live, every week we like to give airtime to the Alliance and let people know what's taking place. And we have a growing family, maybe not attending every event, but maybe one event or two events a year. The prayer events have been powerful, and we already have some great guests for the next year. We won't get into that yet.
Yes, but we do. That's going to be another pleasant surprise for people for next May.
Yep, for sure, for sure. Well, we're going to close with prayer. And Chris, thank you for coming in today. Thank you for sharing some of your heart. And you have you've stirred up a lot of dust, perhaps. And, these are things that must be addressed. And you've been very, very helpful. Close us with prayer.
Well, Father God, we just thank you, Father. You are a God of order. And, Father, help us to get rid of our I don't know what to call it, Lord. It's sometimes our pride or our vanity. Lord, help us to be humble. Lord, you came to serve, not to be served. And so, Lord, help us to be servants. Help us to be servants to our family, our children, our grandchildren. And, Father, we pray also for the needs that were expressed this morning. I think of that young boy who's going through the eye surgery, Lord.
Yes, Father,
that
touch him.
Jehovah Rapha, the God of healing, Lord, will have his host of angels around the doctors, the nurses, the anesthesiologists, and the family, Lord. And I pray for all those who are listening, Lord, that have their own needs, their own concerns. Lord, we are gathered together here in prayer. You hear us. And, Lord, we pray for the needs of those listeners who are expressing their needs right now to you, Lord Jesus. We lift them all up in prayer and just pray for your grace, your abundant grace, Lord, which you give freely. It's not that we deserve it or earned it. It's by your grace, Lord. And we just thank you for who you are.